Revealing the Truth is a half-hour program designed to share the deeper truths from the Bible. We invite you to join us now for today's study and to consider the following.
The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Are you ready to roll up your sleeves?
It has been almost 2,000 years since the Messiah has walked the earth. Satan has done much, from instilling pagan ideas into true worship to actually encouraging men to cover up the true names of our Heavenly Father and His Son. Our mission and purpose is to reach people around the world with the message of the revealed personal names of Yahweh and His Son Yahshua the Messiah, as well as teaching the salvational truths that have been neglected for centuries. The kingdom of Yahweh is coming soon. It's time to prepare.
Welcome to Revealing the Truth. I'm John Fisher, and with me is David Brett. We ask you to roll up your sleeves if you are ready, because the Messiah says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And this, I believe, he was speaking at a time in the summer harvest around the Feast of Pentecost, because the harvest is going to come at just before the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the winter or the fall festivals, the fall harvest time. And we read about this in Matthew 9, beginning at verse 35 and into chapter 10 of Matthew. Let me read that to give us a little bit of a foundation for what we're going to be talking about today. Then Yahshua went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the evangel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the master of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over the unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Verse 5, these 12 Yahshua sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles." In other words, don't take up the mannerisms of the Gentiles. "And do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And of course, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, that phrase is the kingdom of Yahweh. Yahshua came to the house of Judah and sent his disciples to the house of Israel. And it's really important to understand who this is. The house of Judah is the remnant that came back from Babylon, made up of Judah and Benjamin. Mm-hmm. And the other 10 tribes were dispersed 700 years before the Messiah came, scattered by Assyria because they took up idolatry. They created two golden calves, and the king of the northern tribes said, "Here is Yahweh who brought you out of Egypt." Yahweh didn't like that, and so he took away the hedge of protection and allowed Assyria to come in and scatter them to the world. Mm-hmm. And they assimilated into the world. And it's my belief, my understanding from Scripture, that they basically took up a belief in the Messiah. 2 billion people claim to be Christians worshiping the Messiah, who is the Word. He's the living Word, because he only did what his Father told him to do, to be obedient. Judah has the Word as well. They have the written Word. The trouble is, those of Judah don't see the Messiah, and those of the Messiah don't see the law. Mm-hmm. Christianity teaches that the law is dead. Well, you can't have both. The Father and the Son are one, and you cannot deny the Father and accept the Son only, or deny the Son and accept the Father. But in Ezekiel 37, it says that these two, the house of Judah and the house of Israel, will be one in the hand of Yahweh, which is kind of interesting to think about, that the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, I got to talk about the word Gentiles for a second. When Paul goes to the Gentiles, I believe he's going to the house of Israel, the 10 tribes who are scattered abroad, who have taken up the ways of the nations. And they are basically the Hellenized house of Israel, the house of the 10 tribes. They've been Hellenized. They've been Grecianized, you might say, to take up the ways of the world.
Yeah, they're polytheistic in their beliefs, and that there is many idols and stuff that they gravitated to, and different false days and ways of worship.
Right.
And they just accumulated these things for them, because that was their desire from some time
ago.
Well,
they lived under this edict of these two golden calves for many years.
Sure.
And so they've forgotten the ways of Yahweh, which is something that Israel has done over and over again. If you've ever read the book of Judges, you'll see that. But the evidence is clear. I mean, it's very obvious. Yahshua sent his disciples, his 12, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who did Peter write to? Well, he wrote to the pilgrims of the dispersion. What dispersion? Well, it wasn't the dispersion of 70 AD. It was the dispersion 700 years before he came. The house of Israel, the 10 tribes, were scattered. They were dispersed. James, who does he write to? He wrote to the 12 tribes of Israel, scattered abroad. So he
called them brethren. Even.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And the book of Revelation, John wrote to whom? To the seven assemblies in Asia Minor. Well, what nation was that earlier? Well, it was Assyria, basically. Mm-hmm. So these were the remnant that Peter, James, and John were writing to. The seven assemblies are those who did not forget, who are willing to obey the law and acknowledge the Messiah.
Now, when we think of the monotheistic religions in the world, I mean, we're looking at Christianity, we're looking at Judaism, we're looking at also Islam. Now, the promises are through Isaac, specifically, the beloved son of Abraham. Now, there are those in Saudi Arabia, for example, that recognize that Ishmael is their forefather, going back and then even farther to Abraham. Well, Ishmael was one of the other sons through Hagar, Egyptian, and there's some other history with Esau mixing in. And so we see descendants of Esau, or Edom, and Ishmael today, understanding that their forefather is Abraham. Going all the way back to Abraham, but that's not where the promises are through. They were promised, you know, princes would come from them, and then as we look through prophecy, we're seeing, like, I think 10 toes arising at this time, but that's for another episode. What we find is that not a lot of people are understanding the history of the peoples. And to have that understanding opens Scripture wide for us, and it helps us to understand what Yahweh is doing. Because he even says in Jeremiah 3:14, "Return, O faithless sons." Okay, what sons is he talking about? The sons of Israel. "For I am master to you, and I will take from you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion." So there's a whole prophecy being worked out here.
Right, and we are told to go out to the world, basically to the ends of the earth, but specifically the Messiah says to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Israel has always been a nation that has opened up to strangers. anyone in the world can come into the house of Israel, a stranger, and as long as they're willing to worship Yahweh in the way that Yahweh has dictated,
right,
if you want to use that word, mm-hmm, has suggested, has commanded.
Yeah, they're not suggestions.
Well, you know, that's the
not
phrase.
The 10 suggestions. Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah, I understand that. But we have free will.
Right.
And so, I mean, there's no whip on us to, mm-hmm, to honor the Sabbath day. And yeah, as many people recognize that they've been brought up, mm-hmm, to worship on Sunday.
Now, there have been those from Muslim societies, from Islam, mm-hmm, that have converted, and which is, of course, you know, a death sentence for them, mm-hmm, under Islamic law. Mm-hmm. But they recognize that Allah is not the one to be worshipped. They recognize Yahweh. In fact, they have said Yahweh, mm-hmm, is the Mighty One of Israel and the Mighty One of those who will come in and serve as, you know, the house rules dictate, mm-hmm, under the, you know, instructions of Yahweh.
Well, I think the Spirit is alive and well and working in those who love Yahweh and are willing to go out into the world. It's the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. As we see, Peter and James and John are writing to them. In a sense, they are going out to them. Mm-hmm. Paul put that into practice. Where did he go? He went to Ephesus, to Colossae, to Corinth. He wrote to Rome. Eventually, he ended up in Rome. Who are these people that he's going to? Well, the same people that Peter and James are writing to. They're in Asia Minor. They're in the land that we now call Turkey. He, mm-hmm, went to them, and he also went to Greece. And so he put that into practice. He went out and found those who would come to Yahweh, mm-hmm, who would worship Yahweh in the way that the law described.
Exactly. And it should be mentioned that in the kingdom, it won't be just Israel that's being brought in. Those of Egypt will also be brought in. Mm-hmm. And Zechariah chapter 14, mm-hmm, talks about those in Egypt will be coming to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a commanded feast, Feast of Tabernacles. You don't hear about this in Islamic law, but you hear of it in Yahweh's law. Mm-hmm. And so there's a separating divide there, and we are to go on the side of truth and stay away from error.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just want to interject in here that all of the holy convocations of Yahweh and the memorial days are all about the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Passover is about the Messiah who shed his blood that we might live forever. Unleavened bread is the leavening of the Pharisees, unrighteous doctrines taken out of us to make us pure. Mm-hmm. Pentecost is the Spirit being given to us. He fulfilled those three, and he's coming back to fulfill the remaining seven.
Yeah, so this is an ongoing process.
Absolutely.
In which the marriage supper looks to be like the Feast of Tabernacles held in the kingdom of Yahweh.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The other four are trumpets, when we believe he's going to return, Day of Atonement, when he brings Israel together, mm-hmm, and then leads them into the thousand-year reign, into the kingdom, which is represented by the Feast of Tabernacles, and then, of course, is the last great day in which evil will be put away, mm-hmm, and only righteousness will exist. That would be the eternity after the thousand-year reign. And so there's much more to simply going out into the world and talking about what Messiah has done. There's also not just the salvational issues, but there's also the redemption issues that we're going to talk about when you come back.
Who has ascended into heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name or his son's name, if thou canst tell? Hello, I'm Carrie Brett with Yahweh's Assembly in Yahshua. Learn more about the importance of the divine names of our Heavenly Father and his Son, as well as getting better insight of the scriptures that will help you to learn biblical truth. Request our free literature, Discovering the Name of Yahshua in the King James Bible, and the Hebrew Aramaic Origin of the New Testament. To receive your free literature, visit us online at www.yaiy.org. You can also write to YAIY, 2963 County Road 233, Kingdom City, Missouri 65262, or call us toll free at 1-877-642-4101.
We're talking about the Great Commission, where Yahshua is basically gathering those who are of him, and believe in him and walk the same path, who he's sending out into the world to gather this harvest that is plentiful. And he's saying that the workers are few, and wow, we know that. There are not many who are teaching the truth out there. But many people are going out in a semblance of that, but they're missing some really important information from Scripture.
Absolutely. And you know, the Scripture talks about many are called, but few are chosen. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean? Well, Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for gate is the wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it." So when the disciples were asking him, why does he speak in parables? I think we gain great insight here. Matthew 13:10-11, the disciples came to him and asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? And Yahshua answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. But I thought Yahshua came to save everybody. Well, it's those that will submit themselves to the calling. And not everyone is called. So there's a whole process being worked out here of first fruits being brought in. Now, first fruits, of course, we have fields out here. Doesn't mean that that's the only crop that's going to be brought in. No, there's a second crop, a third even. So how all this is going to be worked out, we're not exactly sure. But we know that it is in Yahweh's hands. Mm-hmm. And it's for him to decide who is called.
Right. And we are sent out. I want to share a little bit about what Peter had to say about this calling, and it's found in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 39, which reads, "Therefore let all the house of Israel," and I think that he's speaking of the entire 12 tribes here, mm-hmm. When he says all the house, as Paul talks about, "and all Israel will be saved," talking about when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And that's a whole other story, but I just want to mention it briefly. In Hebrew, fullness of the Gentiles is malo hagoim. And this phrase is used in chapter 48, I believe, in Genesis, where Jacob is blessing the two sons of Joseph. He crosses his hands and puts the primary blessing on Ephraim, which basically in time becomes the house of Israel. The house of Ephraim, the house of Joseph are the 10 tribes. So Paul is talking about when the 10 tribes come back in, when the fullness of the Gentiles, and in Genesis it's translated multitude of nations, mm-hmm. but it's still malo hagoim. It means literally fullness of the Gentiles. When they come in other words, when Yahweh brings the house of Judah and the house of Israel together, mm-hmm. Then the blindness that is in part of Judah will be taken away. Anyway.
And, you know, in witnessing to people, whether or not they listen or not, that's not the point. We're to witness. Mm-hmm. And Ezekiel was told in chapter 2 and verse 7, "You shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious." Mm-hmm. So as a witness, they can't go before Yahweh and say, well, we never heard of Yahweh's word or of your son Yahshua, right. But yet he'll be able to maybe go back and say, well, do you remember that Revealing the Truth program that you were channel surfing, and they said Yahweh is Elohim and Yahshua the son mm-hmm. is the Messiah? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And, so we're playing our role, but it may be a very small role, of
right.
course, but still.
And it's a little bit disconcerting to be witnesses to people's rejection of the truth. Mm-hmm. In a way, I kind of feel guilty sometimes knowing that I'm giving people the truth, and if they reject it, then they suffer the consequences from that. Mm-hmm. But it says, you know, if the watchman on the wall, if you see the sword coming,
right.
and you don't, sound the alarm, then their blood is on your hands.
Yep.
And but if you do sound the alarm, then their rebellion is on their heads.
Yeah, so that's what Ezekiel was told. Yeah.
So we have a responsibility to spread the word. Mm-hmm. In Acts 2:36, it reads, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Yahweh has made this Yahshua, whom you executed, both master and Messiah." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Yahshua Messiah for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as Yahweh our Elohim will call." There's a whole bundle of information in mm-hmm. these verses here. First of all, repent. Peter said, repent. What does that mean? In today's jargon, we see repent as meaning stop what you're doing and do something different.
Well, Yahweh himself says, return, O faithless sons.
Right.
You know, return to what?
Return to Yahweh. That's mm-hmm. what repentance means. It doesn't mean just stop what you're doing. It means return back to the beginning. Go back to your first love. And Yahweh is love. Mm-hmm. be baptized in the name of Yahshua. And we've all heard in many assemblies in churches these days, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Well, it's Yahweh. Yahshua came in the name of his Father. Mm-hmm. His name is Yahshua, mm-hmm. the salvation of Yah. Interestingly, Isaiah is the same name, but just with the terms reversed.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, even going back further, Joshua, the son of Nun, Yahshua, brought mm-hmm. the people into the promised land.
Right.
There was a high priest named Yahshua, who served the people. Yahshua, mm-hmm. The Messiah, is now our high priest in heaven, and also the one that's going to bring us in to the promised land.
Right, and the high priest in that phrase, you know, the verse you're talking about, is Yah Tzadik, which means
King
the righteous. the righteous Yah.
Yeah.
So anyway, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off. Afar off. Who's that? Well, the house of Israel that was
dispersed.
Scattered to mm-hmm. yeah, dispersed and scattered to the world. So the scripture is clear.
Yeah.
Both in the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, as well as the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament, or the Renewed Testament, the Renewed Law, that we are to be obedient. We are to go out and preach obedience to the law of Yahweh and to preach the word about the Messiah who yeah. gave his life and took our stripes that we might be healed. And the healing means being made righteous.
Absolutely.
Paul talks about that we're not under the law. But what does that mean? Does it mean that the law is no longer any good? No, nothing has changed about the law. We are not under the law until we disobey the law. Then we're under the law. Shall we sin so that grace might abound? Yahweh forbid.
Absolutely not.
Right. Yeah. And so there are many, many places, if you look up the phrase Yahweh forbid, or in the English translation, God forbid, you'll see that Paul is speaking about this issue of sin and that we are not to sin. Sin tells us what is right. I mean, the law of sin and death, if mm-hmm. you sin, you die. I mean, that's forever.
Yeah. You know, we were talking recently, I was looking recently at Galatians 4 and verse 10. It says, "You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain." And this is thrown in our face is like, well, the Feast of Tabernacles and these days you keep are done away with. Mm-hmm. But yet, when you look at this in context, you go back in verse 8, it says, "However, at that time when you did not know Yahweh, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know Yahweh, or rather known by Yahweh, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again?" They had gone polytheistic. Mm-hmm. They had worshipped these idols, worthless things, gods that by nature are not gods.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the context? Well, the context of these, you observe days and months and seasons and years, these were pagan holidays. The same stuff we're seeing even today, December 25th. These other days are directly out of paganism, and it's something that we have to be aware of and not fall for the deception that, Satan has put in place.
Mm-hmm. In the book of Revelation, I love the chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, where Yahshua is speaking to John and telling him to write to these seven assemblies. In his writing to the assembly in Pergamos, he writes, "But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality." The doctrine of Balaam, what was that? Doing things for money. To speak against Israel.
All right.
Do we see this in being paid money?
Sure.
I've gone to pastors and told them what we teach here, and he says, "Well, you're right, but I have a responsibility to my congregation," and I'm thinking,
"You have a responsibility to Yahweh."
Right.
Is what
right.
he needed to be
but,
told.
But probably. I think pastors who say that are held under they're captured by that's their living. If they were to preach something different than the board of directors says you should preach, they won't have a job anymore. But that's the kind of sacrifice that it takes to be able to preach the truth to the world. We have to be willing to sacrifice money for the truth.
Yeah.
Going on in this is where I'm getting to in verse 15 of chapter 2. "Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." Yahshua is saying, "I hate the doctrines of the Nicolaitans." What is that? Well, it's not people following Nicholas, although in a way it is. Mm-hmm. Nicolaitan in Greek is Nikolaos, the laity of Nike. Okay, who's Nike? Everyone wears shoes, and Nike is the goddess of victory, who crowned Zeus as the highest god of the pantheon. Mm-hmm. And so here we have people coming in, teaching myths and distorting the truth by bringing in traditions from the nations. Traditions like what? Christmas, New Year's, Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday. These are not true holy convocations. But the holy convocations of Israel are given to us in the book of Leviticus 23. Mm-hmm. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, Tabernacles, Pentecost. These are things that we should be celebrating, as they are all about the Messiah.
Yeah, and this is part of the Great Commission. I mean, teaching about the Messiah, teaching about what he did and what we're to be doing, teaching about the coming kingdom in which these things will be proclaimed there, out from Mount Zion.
It is our hope and our prayer that you will be led by Yahweh in your search for the truth.
Thank you for joining us today. Tune in next time as we look into more of Yahweh's Word and His revealed truth.